drive across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Powerade Tidal Burst presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, our national anthem shouldn't be left out for the salvos while we try on something more fashionable. We'll put it to the vote. Also today, the Crime Watch files are chock-a-block. We've got news of a dog doping scandal and a brand new financial offer from the Bank of Martin Malloy. We'll send out the call for some true confessions. We'll fire up those radio gladiators, award the Fumio, and take to the events of the week with a cocked and ready Steve Bedwell joining us live. Yes, all this and a brief cameo from Paul Keating on a trampoline coming up on the mental butt plug that is Martin Malloy. Well, I know that's Collective Soul. Good afternoon, everybody, right around the big brown land. It's Australia. It's Martin Malloy. It's the last one for the week. We're pretty excited. Who are we, you might be asking? I'm Tony Martin, and with me, this bloke here, he's leading the charge to replace Advance Australia Fair with anything off ball breaker. That's what he's saying. Mick Malloy.
It can work.
All right, we'll get
we can headbang. We can be the only nation to headbang and through our national anthem.
Today, we're going to invite the listeners to submit their own anthems to us. But that's later in the show because, check the calendar, it's Friday. And that means somebody out there is about to receive a Fumio, our highest honour here at Martin Malloy, presented each week to whoever it was who made a giant goog of themselves and thus helped us plug the most gaps here on the big program. And I know we've copped a bit of criticism this week because of our decision to offer a cash incentive to the competitors. But hey, we're just trying to encourage excellence in the gug-making arena. So that offer stands. It's $5 for collapsing out front of a nightclub, $10 if your nose slides off in public, $15 if you spill a coffee on the Olympic flag, and $20 for, well, just being our foreign affairs minister. Mick, who's going for gold this week?
The Olympic flag, which was hoisted in Sydney this week only to reveal a massive stain. A nervous Bob Carr denied he had handled the flag and refused to take responsibility. There was further evidence of stained material later that afternoon when Olympic organisers attempted to hoist Mr. Carr's underpants.
And what about the member for Oxley, Pauline Hanson, who says the $400 million cuts to Aboriginal funding don't go far enough? I reckon Pauline could move to that new life-sustaining moon on Jupiter and Aborigines would still say, you know, she hasn't gone far enough.
Mandy Allwood, the British mum who is about to give birth to 8 babies. The birth, of course, will be assisted by drugs, and because of the enormous scale of the operation, doctors have asked that Jason Donovan be present.
Those armed commandos who stormed a crowded beach in Melbourne in what the army later described as an exercise designed to replicate actual conditions which might be experienced in combat. Said one senior army official, I remember the Normandy landings in 44. We had to dodge dogs catching frisbees, fat blokes buried up to their necks in sand, and all the way across the channel the troops kept saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm on a chock top. Are we there yet? But no, the Fumio goes to Paul Keating,
who, according to a new biography, likes to get out in the backyard on a trampoline purely for health reasons. Keating received his first payment this week, and when the money was handed over, the cheque was the only thing not bouncing.
And, Mick, as tradition demands, we're crossing live to Mr. Keating for his right of reply.
Listen here, I don't have to justify my behaviour to anybody. What I do in the precincts of my own backyard is between myself, my doctor and my trampoline instructor. But I will say this. Oh, hang on a sec. Bit of sinus trouble. That means I have to attempt a triple backflip. So here goes. Oh, sorry, Kim. Maybe if you roll over onto your side for a while.
Coy. And we have a quota. We have to play a certain number of songs where everyone's going, hola, hola. So are we meeting the quota, Gracie? All right. Yeah. It's Friday and, of course, Australian sports mad, even more sports mad than ever this week, it seems to me. And I've got to say hello to a team which is heading out to represent themselves and represent the country overseas. The Australian fin swimming team, they're off to Budapest. They fly out today, all seven of them. It's a very tight kind of militia style contingent they're heading over there. Not much.
Go get them, fellas.
Do you think they'll get a ticket tape parade, the fin swimmers, when they come back?
The fin swimmers. Not the fin brothers.
Not the fin brothers.
The Finn swimmers.
I think the Finn brothers are representing us in Budapest this week, but they're not in the pool. And there'll be a ticker tape parade for these guys. It'll just be a little one. It'll just be one kitty with one of those, you know, the thing you... and a few little bits of paper go everywhere. But all the best of luck to your team. And it's the end of the week. And there's always a lot of stuff piling up at the end of the week. So let's see if we can clear out the file marked Crime Watch.
And there's a bit to get through, Tone. We've been sent an email at our very popular internet site by a young man named Travis.
Is it one of those ones that just contains a torrent of abuse?
No, surprisingly.
Okay.
No, this is one definitely in the minority.
We should never have given Pete Smith the email address. He doesn't even know what it is. Somehow he's got it and he's just firing all this
stuff. He's punching in manifestos. That was a 35,000-word diatribe he put in there the other day. What's he up to? It requires further investigation. Look, these have been ripped off the email sent to us by a young man named Travis, and they're pretty bizarre crimes that have been...
Actual real-life crimes
that have been attempted around the world in the last few weeks or so.
Okay, take us through them.
Okay, the first one, location unknown. A man walked into a 7-Eleven, put $20 bill on the counter and asked for change. When the clerk opened the cash drawer, the man pulled a gun and asked for all the cash in the register, which the clerk promptly provided. The man took the cash from the clerk and fled, leaving the $20 bill on the counter. The total amount of cash he got from the drawer, $15. I think we found our next head of the Reserve Bank. He's lost $5. Jeez. I hope he doesn't go on a spree.
He's going to be out of pocket. Do you think he's just going to keep going? $15, comes out with $5.
He's going to have to resort to crime eventually.
He'll have an overdraft at 7-Eleven.
He's the only bloke I know who needs to make an appointment with the bank manager for a loan before he goes ahead and robs the bank.
Well, he goes straight into the Crime Watch Hall of Fame.
Okay, you're ticking that one?
Yep.
All right, have a listen to this one. Two men tried to pull the front off an ATM machine by running a chain from the machine to the bumper of their truck. Instead of pulling the front panel off the machine, they pulled the bumper off the truck. Scared, they left the scene and drove home. With the chain still attached to the ATM machine, with their bumper still attached to the chain, with their vehicle's license plate still attached to the bumper.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. That's, what's that? Imagine the cops. Did you manage to get their license? Oh, yeah. It was probably personalised. Dave.
Dickhead.
Yes. Could they be any more helpful? Listen to this. A tourist supposedly on a golf holiday shows up at the customs with his golf bag. While making idle chatter about golf, the customs official realised that the tourist didn't know what a handicap was. The customs officer asked the tourist to demonstrate his swing, which he did backwards. Now, at this point, they realised they were onto one of two things, either a drug smuggler or Greg Norman. A substantial amount of narcotics was later found in the golf bag.
All right, he goes in.
He's in. But I don't see that, you know, narcotics in a golf bag. I thought that was standard issue. I mean, you see a golf, any grown man walking around with his pants tucked into his socks, I reckon it's fair to say, may have narcotics in his golf bag.
You just go by the pants, I always say.
There you go. Listen to this. A man successfully broke into a bank after hours and stole the bank's video camera. You know what he should do with the film? He should send it into Australia's Funniest Home Video Show, and I reckon he'll get another one. What's he doing?
And so he's stolen the video camera.
He's broken in and stolen the security camera. Left everything else.
Is the tape in another part of the building recording him reaching up and taking it away?
No, I think he's got that too.
Has he?
He might submit it for Crime Stoppers. We'll see. This is the last one. I'll take you out with this. A man went into a drugstore, pulled a gun, announced a robbery, then pulled a plastic shopping bag over his head and realised he'd forgotten to cut eye holes in the mask. Oh, Jesus. They didn't need to call the cops, Tate. They just spun him around three times really quickly, took the bag off, and he careered off into a rack of videos. No, it would have been fun. Give him a big stick and made him kind of smack one of those pientas. What are they called?
I don't know. They're Mexican.
Piñata. There's a bit of fun.
Oh, I think the pienta is a very small British car.
I'm thinking of paella. It's a small Spanish seafood dish, isn't it? But there he was in the shop with a bag over his head. There was one eyewitness, but unfortunately it was Robert Downey Jr. and he had a pillowcase over his head at the time.
Radio. The way a woman feels here at Martin Molloy, where it's time for a very important message. Never lose sight of the big picture. Never forget what you set out to achieve. We won't. Never tell anyone you spend your spare time in the basement making a suit out of human skin. Never forget to eat a handful of marbles after every meal. We won't. Never lose sight of the fact that Donnie and Marie Osmond have really big teeth. Never forget to sprinkle dirt inside your underpants. We won't. Never lose sight of the person you're stalking. Never forget to put the bins out on bin night. We won't. Never pretend you can fly and jump off the roof of your neighbour's house wearing a beach towel you've turned into a cape. Never forget your pet stingray should not be allowed to sleep on the bed. We won't. Never put all your clothes on back to front and walk round backwards. Never forget to tie your shoelaces together and hop to the shops for a carton of milk. We won't. Never graze in your backyard like a sheep with a car seat cover strapped to your back. Never forget to put some pants on when delivering the keynote speech at a Republican convention. We won't. Never cover yourself from head to toe in blue paint and pretend to be a Smurf. Never forget to bark like a dog when being cross-examined by a QC in a court of law. We won't. Never walk up to a total stranger and introduce yourself as Captain Picard. Never forget to take your medication. We have.
The Bank of Martin Molloy. Give them your hard-earned cash. We won't.
What's the difference?
Tease up. That's Alanis Morissette. Let's unplug it at the wall, will you, Gracie? This is Martin Molloy, and that was You Learn. I'm flicking through the paper because I'm looking for this story. The Bank of Martin Molloy thing's got me thinking about it, the stalking business with Lady Di.
Oh, yeah?
There's a description. There's a bloke stalking Lady Di. He's standing around outside her place waiting for her to come out, but he's dumb. He can't speak a word, so they can't get a word out of him. They've taken him down the station, and he's not talking.
He's not a French mime. That'd be an elaborate stalking process, wouldn't it?
Exactly. So Lady Di injured by invisible pane of glass. But no, here's a description of him. And just keep an eye out for this bloke. He wears shorts and carries a silver attaché case. There's your next head of the Reserve Bank. Let's see that. But
it's Captain Steubing.
We'll see.
Being followed around by Captain Steubing.
Well, we'll get more details as the program progresses. In the next hour, Steve Bedwell will be with us to wrap up the week, as only he can, as we say in show business. We'll also have True Confessions.
Beauty.
Radio Gladiators is imminent. Have your national anthems ready. And here's something, Mickey. I thought showbiz was bitchy, but have you ever had anything to do with the dog world?
No, I want nothing to do with it.
Oh, the world of dog shows and dog breeders, etc. Now, that is a bitchy, backstabbing world of sledging and shirt fronts. I've got friends in the game, and while on the surface it may look like a whole lot of lovely people in tweed jackets getting together of a weekend for a nice cup of tea and a couple of tummy rubs, behind closed doors, it's like backstage at Wheel of Fortune.
Is it?
Have you heard about this big case in England, which has rocked the dog world? One of Britain's most successful breeders of dogs was yesterday banned from all dog shows for 5 years after feeding a Valium tablet to a rival Chihuahua.
Oh, no.
Chihuahua! Chihuahua!
Sorry about that. That's enough, Grace. We've got this new security system. I don't know, whenever anyone uses the word Chihuahua...
There we go, okay.
Chihuahua!
All right. You've been warned.
Okay, could go off at any moment. It's completely meaningless. There's computer problems. The dog's owner, Mrs. Tracy Dyke, said she watched on in horror as Mrs. Carol Brampton, whose dogs have won dozens of championships, just walked up to her chihuahua. Yes, walked up to Chitsy and forced her to swallow a Valium. The dog soon fell over and was incapable of even wagging her tail. The dog has since come good, by the way, listeners, in case you're concerned. Brampton later claimed in her defence that the tablet was, in fact, a herbal remedy, like the ones Paul Keating's butler Guy used to bring to him every night before bed. Now, what sort of defence is that? Oh, one of the competitor's dogs is looking a bit flushed. I better go and see if I can perk it up with a herbal remedy. That's not helping your case. It's just digging you in further, I reckon. Yes, I did give the dog a tablet, but not the one that seconds later sent it into a coma. Now, she's suggesting that the dog got the Valium for itself.
Of course she is.
Oh, dear. So hang on, the dog's scoring its own drugs. It's ploughing all its dog show winnings straight back up the doorstop, Robert Downey Jr. style. We'll see it racing out of court with a pillowcase on. It'll be announced it's accepted a lead in the Perth season of Rocky Horror next. But you know what? That dog's mates are going to have to set up an intervention. Talk it down. That's what they're going to have to do. And the owner says, this is the interesting part. This is what I've been leading to. Listen to this for a great idea. The owner says that she, the owner of the dog that was drugged, says the only way the championship could have been conducted fairly was if all the other dogs had been drugged as well.
That's the answer.
Now, that I'd pay to see. And off their faces dog show. 10 of them, you know. All of them just lying on their backs, all on individual bean bags with the big old headphones on, whining along the Dark Side of the Moon and knocking back those beef sticks like there's no tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, dog of the year.
This is Martin Malloy.
A show which doesn't require any particular skill or knowledge.
Brought to you by Powerade Title.
Welcome back to Martin Malloy, where it's time for a special patriotic edition of
Radio Gladiators. Your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mick, what's going on with Australians? What's going on? Firstly, we're getting fatter.
Yep.
Everyone, well, so I'm not. I'm trying. I'm doing everything within my power to get fatter. But it's
look at you.
I'm never going to be an Australian if I don't get any fatter, because apparently we, I know Ida Buttrose, was it Ida Buttrose who declared us a nation of fatties? Somebody called us a nation of fatties last year.
Is it nation of fatties or nation of fatty boombas? I can't recall.
Well, apparently we are on the spread, and, we're overcrowding in Australia. It's not going to be caused by overpopulation. It's going to be the existing population getting bigger. Okay, so that's number one. Secondly, none of us know who the Governor-General is. They've done a poll and absolutely nobody could name the Governor-General, who is, of course, Dino, Sir William Dean.
Yep.
Nobody could finger Dino, even Dino himself. Who's the Governor-General? Oh, it's me. That's right, yeah. And now we're fiddling about with the national anthem. Bob Carr, the Premier of New South Wales and former lead singer of Devo, is basically getting behind a charge to change the national anthem from Advance Australia Fair to Waltzing Matilda. Now, I don't know about that for an idea.
Look, I'm not crash hot on Advance Australia Fair, but I don't think Waltzing Matilda is the answer. That's a crap song. It's pretty crap. It only sounds good if you're half cut, if you're up to the eyeballs, if you're soaking yourself in some vino. What's the point of that?
Well, it comes to life when you do it, though, Mickey.
It's very, very stirring, isn't it?
Well, the problem, I think, is that's all very well, but what about, you know, those solemn occasions? It's, an important figure of state's funeral.
Once a jolly swag. Everybody on the scene of our
tree. But he means well, Bob Carr, and what he's basically saying is that he's thinks the old one's a bit old hat. I don't know. It's got the word Gert in it. I like the fact that our national anthem has the word Gert, because I don't know what Gert means. It's just fantastic. It's got I just look forward to Gert. I don't know any of the other words. I just go,
Gert! Always join in on the Gert.
But what Bob Carr's saying is we need something a bit more fun. So let's go with that scenario and let's get people to call us up
and play a bit of what you reckon the national anthem, the new one, should be down the line. So it can be anything from your record collection. We're not just looking for patriotic songs. We're opening the net to anything.
Yep.
And Matthew Parkinson, Matty P, from the Empty Pockets and a good friend of the program, has sent in a fantastic album this week.
I don't know how you can bear to part with that.
Oh, look, this is superb. It's called Gospel Country Yodeling. And it's just...
There's a mighty combination. Gospel, country and yodeling. All of the same thing?
Wow. How would you like to hear those three things combined? Check out track two. I yodel for Jesus. Okay, yodeling for Jesus. I don't know if Jesus would be too keen on that idea.
Maybe not.
And there's another track, Yodeling Up in Heaven. If there's yodeling up in heaven, you're not going to see me there. Not
going to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the other joint. There's no yodeling. Well, that's one possibility.
Yeah, they've got a better house band downstairs. Oh, dear. Okay,
it's jumping in the basement tone.
What do you reckon?
Well, I reckon what would really, well... Inspire the nation with a whole heap of patriotic fervour and make us feel good about ourselves and our nation would be a little bit of this.
I am the music man. I come from WAM. What can you play?
I can play the James Cagney.
Yes, okay, all right.
And of course, you'd have to do the movement. No, you wouldn't just be standing there saluting, Tony.
There's your opening of Parliament right there.
Everyone in the Groucho Marx faces.
What about some of our old favourites? What about Big Bazza?
Ah, yeah, that is an anthem.
I'd be saluting.
Everyone
or
just a big cuddle.
What about something off Steve Waugh's album of motivational songs?
Bit of angry. Headbanging in unison, Tone.
You've got to have something that people know and something that people love.
All right. Well, imagine this. Our athletes, they're successful. They're at the Olympics. They're standing on the podium. Yeah. They've received gold. It's all very teary. And all of a sudden, over the PA, a bit of this.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
It's the Wiggles. It's not those imitation hooly-doolies. It's the Wiggles.
The hooly-doolies. Don't you ever mention them in the same breath, the same sentence as the Wiggles?
And
there would be Wiggles.
Have we left somebody out? What about our own Pete Smith?
Lord almighty, I feel my temperature rising.
I'd like to see that at your closing ceremony. People are saying, okay, if you're not going to have inflatable kangaroos, what are you going to have? Well, let's just have something like this. I don't know. Okay, we've got a prize for you. If you can successfully finger our new national anthem, you'll get a pair of cool Bolle sunnies, and you'll go into the draw for that trip for two to Falls Creek, which we are drawing at the conclusion of today's Radio Gladiators.
And Tone, point out, we want to hear it down the line. Don't just tell us what it is. You've got to have it out, you've got to have it ready to play, and you've got to have it queued up at the good bit.
Okay, call us now with your new anthem, 1-800-657-657.
Know what they're on about on the new SAFM.
Talking about that very fine film from the 70s, The Mac, that nobody ever remembers. Yeah, but it's it's Richard Pryor off the leash, if I remember. I don't know. It was the 70s. Fun. You remember the 70s, though,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, vague recollection.
We might be going back there in just a moment because it's Radio Gladiators, and a lot of people are saying that we should change our national anthem, that it should be changed to Waltzing Matilda. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people already think that Waltzing Matilda is our national anthem, but is it good enough? Is it right? Does it fit? Is it a 42 regular that we can all feel comfy in? Let's see if the listeners have got anything better in their record collections. Who have we got first?
James, are you there?
Yep.
How are you, mate?
Good.
All right. What do you think should be our new national anthem?
Out on Bradman.
Okay.
All right. Have you got it for us?
Yeah.
Hear it. Let's hear it. What happens in cricket is it, Mickey, when you do well enough, they do a song about you.
You get your own song.
Is there Our Greg Matthews?
Our Greg Matthews.
All right. Well, James, not bad. Very patriotic. But let's see what Rachel has to offer. Rachel, what have you got for us?
I've got I'm an Arsehole.
By Dennis Leary.
Yep.
I think we'll need confirmation, so just give us a bit.
Okay, then.
No, I've got to go out and have fun. Someone else is
Yes, yes. I think there's a bluebird coming up.
I think there is.
I think there was.
And so it's I'm an asshole. And it would be suitable at the Olympics, I suppose, when Arthur Tunstall showed his face. Look, if you're offended by that, you're just being politically correct.
Oh, am I?
Yes, I'm afraid so. All right, well, asshole, national anthem.
Oh, I was really hoping we'd get to that rousing chorus. It always brings a tear to my eye.
Have we got Sue there? You there, Sue?
Yes, I am.
What are you sitting on?
We've got a song by the Four Kinsmen, and it's called Boom Chakalala or something like that.
Oh, Boom Chakalala.
My boomerang won't come back.
Yes.
This could be our anthem already. We don't know the words.
Okay.
You're halfway there. Fire it up for us.
All right, I hope you can hear it, okay? Hang on.
My boomerang won't come back.
Okay.
That's a Four Kinsmen, is it?
Yeah, Four Kinsmen, yeah.
Can you have a kazoo in the national anthem? Is that allowed?
Was that at the correct speed, Sue?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like that. They're trying to be funny.
Oh, sorry, okay. We know the feeling, Sue, don't you worry. All right, well, the Four Kinsmen...
I think the chipmunks are just round the corner.
It'd look fantastic, the Four Kinsmen coming out at, say, a funeral or something, an official event. Okay, thanks very much, Sue. Now we've got Zoran. Are you there, Zoran?
Yeah, I'm here.
What have you got?
Mana Mana.
Oh, well, play it. We need to hear it.
Mana Mana. Mana Mana.
Mana Mana. Oh, I think there's a bluebird coming up here as well. You better go to the applause. That's where they go off. What do you think, Mickey? Mana Mana.
I'd like to see that played at the airport visiting dignitaries. Get off the plane.
Exactly.
First thing they hear. Mana Mana.
Please welcome.
As the Pope's kissing the tarmac.
Please welcome Dr. Martin. Very nice. It could work. Thanks, Zoran. Now we've got Dylan. What have you got for us, Dylan?
Well, I'm going to break a few copyright laws here and play a bit of The Late Show.
Oh, no, don't do that to us. What have you got?
I've got Mick Molloy singing Australia, You're So Fine, You're So Fine.
Oh, so it's a potential anthem. I think, have we done this idea before? Did we suggest?
Yeah.
No, have we? That's not like us.
Oops. I just thought I'd play it for you.
Yeah,
you,
let's hear it, Dylan.
Australia, you're so fine. You're so fine, you blow my mind. Australia.
Oh, what
a pity.
It's
a
good
answer.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's
quite spooky with the headphones on.
Do I have to turn up and sing it every time there's a call?
Every time.
And do I have to be in the little hot pants with the pom-poms?
Of course.
Australia,
of course.
You're so fine. Just like you were in that clip. You have to be.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. No. Thank you.
Is that... No, it's not our winner.
Oh, no.
Who have we got finally?
I believe it's Jan.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
What you sitting on, Jan?
Well, I thought I'd be very patriotic, and I think a bit of Rolf Harris would be good with Jake the Pig.
Oi!
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you ready for it?
Yes, please.
I'm Jake the Pig, with my ex-colleague.
Yeah, I think that's it. And so would dignitaries be required to throw on the third leg for the occasion?
Yes.
Yeah,
plenty.
Plenty. And where'd you get that, Jan? Have you got a 45 of it or something?
No, actually, it's my husband's CD. I'm very embarrassed to admit that.
It's out on CD now, isn't it?
It is.
A recent purchase, one would suggest.
It is a recent purchase, yes.
Well, it's certainly patriotic. It'd have everyone, you know, thinking Australia.
I like it a lot.
All right, Jake the Pig. Honestly, is it any worse to have an anthem with the words diddle diddle dum in it than it is to have the word girt? I ask you, guess what? You've got the Bolle Sunnies.
Oh, fabulous.
And stick around, Jan, because our assistant Emma has written your name onto one of the forms. She's thrown your name into the Beasley. We're about to draw the winner of the trip to Falls Creek, courtesy Falls Creek, courtesy everybody else. And who is the winner from the Five Gladiators this week, Emma?
Mark Gibbons from Beaumaris in Victoria.
Oh!
Fame.
See if you remember this, Mickey. David Hasselhoff offended him deeply.
That could have been any day.
That's
that could have been any topic.
Three other people have gone, it's me. Oh, no, it wasn't. All right, and I don't think we want David Hasselhoff singing the anthem. Thank you very much.
Ooh-wee.
Much as the prospect of him doing Jake the Pig is appealing. Sorry it wasn't you, Jan, but you've got the sunnies nonetheless, and we'll be back in the next hour with somebody who we're going to try and test him to see how much he knows about the anthem, Steve Bedwell.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, mix off on another mission predictable. The True Confessions booth is open for business, as is Steve Bedwell. He's next, all thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst. Well, that's them Bodines, closer to free here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Let's get him in here, Mickey. This bloke, he's our Adelaide connection. We love his work. Every few weeks he drops by to drain the mental sump. And today it's Chockers. Please park the cheeks and open the yap, if you will, Steve Bedwell. Oh,
thank you, Kern. Thank you, Mick. I do have bananas in the brain gearbox. That's the problem that we have. Before I go any further, I just want to test Gracie out with some chihuahuas.
You've been caught with your pants down.
Tell you what, we'll let him off the hook. People might just be tuning in now. Yes,
how did they slip that Valium? Did they hide it in the dog's food? Is that what they did?
Standard in the gob, rub the throat, down it goes.
The woman claimed it was a herbal remedy.
Now, any herbal remedy dogs will drink are those that are found in the bottom of your toy.
Exactly. Now, that's not the biggest story we've been talking about. We've talked much bigger this week, Steve. Thongs. I think that was what we opened the week with. Thongs washing up north of Australia. Have you been focusing on this yourself?
Well, there is that that kerfuffle is a brewing with our troublesome northern neighbours, as you know, the Indonesian thongs. Matter of national concern, as you've quite rightly pointed out, it's covered by all the major newspapers of the land. Now, here have been the headlines. Thong invasion, environmental vandalism, the West Australian. Australian-Indonesian bilateral relations at risk, the Adelaide Advertiser. Anger at thong invasion, the Herald Sun. The Daily Telegraph said endangered wildlife threatened by discarded footwear. And how did Brisbane's newspaper cover it? Free thongs. Find out where. Page 3.
Fantastic. Well, it hasn't just all been thongs. Has there been any other issues?
The big story, well, one we've been crapping on endlessly about, is the super mum in Britain. Eight babies. Dropped a load.
Your multiple birth business.
Yeah.
Well, she might have eight, but she's got nothing on what's been happening in Perthway. Quadruples were born to a lesbian couple at one of Western Australia's biggest hospitals after self-administered artificial insemination, it's been revealed.
Right.
And as a bit of a stink on, however, because in WA it's illegal for same-sex couples to be involved in reproductive technology programs.
Right.
Well, as near as I can tell, it's only going to work for one side of that equation anyway, isn't it? Because, you know, unless there's been some remarkable breakthroughs, I'm tipping that a pair of blokes can be involved in all the programs they like. And they're not going to get pregnant. Now, Murdoch University reproductive biologist Dr. Jim Cummins said there was nothing to stop female couples inseminating themselves. But there were risks, apparently. He said, quote, all they would need would be sperm and a turkey baster. End quote. Sperm and a turkey baster.
I saw this on Healthy Wealthy Advice.
There goes the tag. Now, only one of these is freely available at the supermarket. So, yeah, I reckon they're probably going to need, like, a willing third party. Either that or some really sleepy bloke on a tram. You know? You can't exactly pick up a six-pack of sperm from aisle 4 at Coles. Now, just a tip, though. So if you're contemplating trying this at home, try to avoid doing it on a day when you're cooking a turkey. The last thing you want's a mix-up. I can see the headlines now. Woman gives birth to turkey boy. Half turkey, half boy. It's not good. And let's face it, it's going to be difficult growing up for the quads. There'll be the inevitable question, where's Dad? Because I guess regardless of how much you prepare, there's no easy way to tell your children that Daddy's in the kitchen drawer next to the salad tongs. It's got to be tough. You know, what about your relatives? Christmas Day can't be much fun sitting around the dinner table with Auntie Icing Bag and Uncle Eyedropper. It's no fun at all. Now, as it turns out, the woman in question did actually have medical assistance, but unfortunately, Dr. Jeff Jance was unavailable for comment.
Well, there you go. Chihuahua! We're out. You know what, though? It's fine, and I'm sure it works, but it's not very romantic, is it, really?
No.
Really, it's... Hey, come on, let's pop upstairs for a good old-fashioned... basting.
Well, you know, that unsightly, lump your pants in your pants every time you walk past a charcoal chicken shop as you grow up. That can't be good for you, I don't reckon.
All right, well, what else have we been talking about? Oh, now, did you hear Crime Watch? We tend to accumulate very pissy crimes on this program. People send them into us, so have you got anything for us, Pete?
Well, there's been a lot of pissy crimes happening locally.
Yes.
A lot of bizarre robberies lately. Well, not so much the robberies, but as much as their chosen method of disguise by the perpetrators, that, you know, the days of donning your novelty moustache and glasses, a basic bike helmet or ski mask when heading out on the thief,
yes,
sadly, appear to be over. In Sydney on Wednesday, two gunmen held up a video store, Robert Downey Jr. style, wearing pillowcases That's on their head. Now, can a balaclava really be that hard to get hold of? I don't think it is. Pillowcases, what's the world coming to when bed linen is being used in the committing of a felony? What's next? Lace doilies, I'm tipping. It'll be a Greek robber with a lace doily, a bit of bonbonieri, and we're in trouble. What sort of sick society are we living in when every purchaser of Manchester must be viewed with suspicion as a potential armed robber? Sadly, the article carried no description of the pillowcases in question, but I'm tipping they probably weren't your flowery types. I can't imagine your hardened criminal going to all the trouble of planning his escape route, organising the getaway car and filing the serial number off the gun and then slipping into some fruity Ken Doan-inspired pillowcase for his disguise. It's outrageous.
Yes.
Certainly the whole pillowcase robbery thing's getting right out of hand.
Is
the police
it?
Have just hired Laura Ashley as a sketch artist. And if your pillowcase mask wasn't slapdash and half-baked enough, police in beautiful Adelaide are hunting a housebreaker who wrapped his head in metres of masking tape to conceal his identity. The man was described as about 183 centimetres, 85 kilos, and possibly suffering from a skin irritation, self-inflicted when he peeled off the tape. He wrapped his whole head, hair and all, in masking tape. Now, that would have taken some time, I should imagine. Certainly enough time to think to yourself, what the hell am I doing? Is this really going to hurt when I take it off? Hasn't this bloke ever had occasion to be wearing a Band-Aid at any time?
Did he have a bit for the, where you could see?
No, only the eyes. No mouth or nose. That's where he went wrong. But if you're listening, mate, you're still on the lam. I've got two words for you. Pillowcase.
Exactly.
Or if it's a big job, Santa sack. Or if it's a really big job, turkey baster. Because once you've wrapped yourself up in a mask style, you've only got two options when taking it off. You know, do you do it really slowly or just rip it off quickly?
Yeah, they're appealing for people just if they hear the noises like oof, coming from next door, just to call Triple O straight away.
That's him. That's the man. All right, Steve, we haven't finished with you yet. Have you got some more to tell us?
Oh, there's plenty.
Well, just have a bit of a dance and we'll be back in just a moment. Martin Molloy. John Farnham, The Simple Life here at Martin Molloy. Steve Bedwell is with us. Yeah. And, Steve, have you got anything, by the way, of new products and ideas?
Well, I found this ad in the paper during the week for remote control hearing aids. It says, quote, they offer you pre-programmed settings custom designed to your hearing needs and listening preferences. No more fiddling with tiny volume controls. The small credit card size remote can sit inside your pocket or purse. Works like a TV remote. Hey, kids, if Granddad's got one of these, just get hold of the remote, start pushing buttons, and boy, are you in for some mischief. 1 minute he can hear a pin drop, then with a simple push of a button, he wouldn't know if a train was coming through the front door. If you really want to scare him, turn it right up when he goes for one of his extended visits to the toilet. I guarantee that no sooner has he washed his hands and he'll be on the phone to the doctor in a blind panic. You can keep your Nintendo. You don't know what fun is until you start messing with Grandpa's mind. And isn't this what every home needs? You know, another remote control. Particularly around elderly folk who might get a tad confused and forgetful.
Good news for channel surfers.
If you've got the remote for the stereo and the remote for your hearing aid,
it's all over the place. I give it a week in the hands of my grandfather before it's lost or smashed in a fit of rage after getting it confused with the telly remote one too many times. Instead of turning up his hearing aid, he makes Kerry Ann's face go bright orange. Still, I'll probably get him one anyway, but not one of these new ones. I'll get him the early model that's got the wire running from the remote to the hearing aid.
Of course. Well, I've never known. I mean, you know, grandparents, in my experience, don't use the remote. They'll just leave it. It's scary to them.
And leave it on top of the telly.
Exactly.
Just go over and change buttons.
Because then they know where it is.
Well, they've got a doily made for it, or a little crocheted pouch.
Very nice. Now, what else in the way of new products? Anything at all?
Last week's new idea featured the attention-grabbing idea you're not to fork over your $2.50 front page headline, Bizarre Surgery. Why I have inflatable breasts.
Oh, right. Now, who could it be?
A Gold Coast woman.
Ah, yes.
Where else, you know, apart from the Neverland Ranch, would you expect this to happen? She's now got inflatable breasts. Now, wouldn't they be great on a plane? Just hang a whistle off one and a light off the other and you'd be ready for anything.
Anyway, so they're inflatable, they're adjustable.
Oh, yes. Yeah, up and down, up and down. You've got a valve. It's great for mums. You can keep the kids amused for hours by making them into balloon animals. Only problem is, they all look like they're wearing a beanie. Giraffe in a beanie. Poodle wearing a beanie.
Yes.
Inflatable breasts. It's remarkable. I wonder if you go to the doctors or if you can just top them up yourself at the servo. You know, how many PSI would you run in a pair of breasts, Mick, do you reckon? About 32 on the left, 30 on the right.
Yeah,
if you're going on a trip or carrying a load, you've got to let a bit out, though, of course.
Yes.
Things have gone horribly wrong, though. She went to the doctors to have a bit more air put in, but accidentally ended up at Mr. Gaspar. Very, very ugly. Because it's not all bad news. Richard Branson's going to hang a basket off a stomach and fly across the Atlantic.
Very nice.
Lovely.
Now, that's enough breast news. And I think, how are we going for time, Gracie?
We can have.
Have you got something from overseas?
What's going on? The big news from London, Dateline London.
Yes.
During the week, King Tutankhamun, the boy who ruled Egypt more than 3,000 years ago, may have been murdered in his sleep.
Oh, really? They've just reopened the investigation.
They have indeed. US scientists studying X-rays of the pharaoh's head made at his tomb in the Valley of the Kings near Luxor 28 years ago. Geez, not only is this is informative as well, this segment, isn't it? Said they show that he
Luxor,
was...
Luxor, you say?
Yeah, 28 years ago they found him. Remarkable. Shows he was hit on the back of the head as he slept. Now, as a result, your Egyptian police, and they're your top flight force, if ever there's been one, are reopening the investigation into the king's death. Now, they're reopening the case. Now, it was 3,000 years ago that he was killed. I'm tipping the chances of an arrest are fairly slim these days. They can get a young constable to knock on the door, knock the pyramids as many times as they want. But I can't see it just happening, you know, witness style. Now, even no matter how many times they mention it on Crime Stoppers, no one's coming forward for that. I don't even reckon that a dramatic recreation starring Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor on Egypt's Most Wanted will lead them to the culprit. They're still trying. I've seen the reward posters that are going up in the post office, and as near as I can tell, the bloke they're looking for is only ever seen in profile, carries a large urn, wears a lap, and's got a snake on his head. The case is attracting so much international publicity that Angela Lansbury's decided to set an episode of her female detective series in ancient Egypt. And in it, Jessica Fletcher solves the King Tut case. She'll be hitting our screens next year. Keep a lookout for Murder, She Drew.
Oh, very nice. Can I tell you what I like about the Egyptian police?
What?
Their chalk outlines. They've always got the bendy arms.
He's got those. You know what I mean?
And the sketch... The trouble is, though, the sketch artists, you know, when they do the picture, it's always side on. You get the side on and then the side
Nobody
on.
Nobody ever dies face down in Egypt.
And you know what? This Tutankhamun, you know how he's all bandaged up in all the wrapping. I reckon he was robbing an Egyptian bank
when he died. Couldn't masking tape off in time. Okay, gents, this football is officially exhausted. Are we going to a song, Gracie? Or... Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Do you want to stick around for True Confessions?
Yeah, why not?
I reckon we'll be able to squeeze one out of him.
I've got something I've been meaning to unburden for years.
Let's hear it, Pete, if you could.
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Molloy True Confessions. Maybe you've been parking in a loading zone. Perhaps you cheated on your census form. Or maybe it's just that you were the inventor of acid wash denim. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
My husband was a bit testy, cranky for a couple of weeks. I have done the odd thing to him when he's been like that. And it came to me and I got an old cup, went into the toilet, scooped the water out of the bowl, made him a cup of coffee, and sat down and watched him drink it.
Oh, man.
And how does he have his coffee? Half flush or full?
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let him off the hook.
We'll attempt to do just that, Pete Smith. Let's get the booth out here, Gracie. Push! Push! Come on. There's a fair bit of Egyptian in Gracie. Nobody knows how the booth was built to this very day. Let's step inside and let's open the little slidey door. Steve Bedwell is on the other side. He's got something to tell us that he has never told another single person. Is that right, Steve?
Well, apart from the fact that Red Nose Day is coming up, and on the 23rd you can see myself at the Odeon. A very big lineup. You knew you were going to get there, didn't you? You see myself, the Odeon in Toorak for our Melbourne listeners. Leno and Woodley, scared with little guys, Matt Parkinson, Darren Casey, Con Marasco, out from behind the vault, Alan Brough, Brad Oaks, Jody J. Hill, and Annette Macquarie, $25, 10 acts, beautiful work.
And where is this?
At the Odeon.
In Melbourne?
In Melbourne, of course.
And when is
Toorak?
It?
It's Friday the 23rd.
Of course, and all for a good cause for Red Nose Day. Now, this isn't the plug booth, this is the confession booth. Steve, well, what have you got?
When I was in about year eight, we would drop by my grandparents' place and Mum and Dad and my sister were going somewhere and I didn't want to go. Yeah. So I faked stomach pain.
Did you really?
Yes. I faked stomach pain so well that later on that night I found myself in hospital having my appendix removed. After a very unsightly check to see that they were swollen, the doctor discovered that they were, even though they weren't.
Oh.
Next thing I know, I'm having an operation. My appendix is out beside me. I'm woken up, and there it is.
You're going, hang on, this has gone too far.
I thought, hello. And Mum and Dad don't know to this day that I've actually done that.
And do they listen to Martin Molloy, do you know?
They may very well, at which time I'm expecting a phone call this evening with them wanting the money back.
I see. And do you miss it, though? That's the thing about the appendix.
No, I still got it in a plastic jar, but all the watery stuff drained out. Now it rattles.
Oh, I see. Well, of course, as I mentioned before, I've had the appendix out myself, but it was purely for cosmetic reasons. Yes, why not join us? Why not join us here? Do as we do and go for the big confess. Thanks for that, Steve. That's
my pleasure. I feel much better for it.
That's the thing about this segment. And if you want to experience that unique feeling, call us with your confession, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Molloy.
I see some guys doing pretty good. Pretty damn good.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Drink the bold new power source.
Thank you, Gracie, on the Moog. It's True Confessions here at Martin Molloy. We've got a booth. Mm. It's an authentic confession booth. Mm. It's been blessed by Lucky Grills. Mm. I don't know if that's actually gives it any status whatsoever.
And Pope John Craig.
Yeah.
He's little known Pope. Less known.
Yeah.
Just as effective.
Yeah. Mm. He can get you your tyres at a nice price too. So
correct.
That particular Pope. Let's step into the booth anyway. Let's open the first slidey door. And meet, who is it, Mickey?
It's Robert. How are you, Robert?
I'm well, thanks, Mick. Yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Now, the healing process begins. Tell us about what we need to know.
Well, when I was in high school, I was in first form high school, I used to pick people's names and telephone numbers at random.
Mm.
We used to ring them up and say we were from Aeroplane Jelly Crystals, and if they could sing the Aeroplane Jelly's Crystal song, we would send them a year's supply of jelly crystals and $100, and we never did.
Oh, dear. And how many times did you perpetrate that one?
Oh, heaps of times. Whenever homework was due, I used to get one of my mates and he'd listen in on the other phone. He'd just absolutely break up laughing and I had to hang up the phone because then the people realised it was a hoax, so I felt really low about it.
And are you in some kind of police witness protection scheme now, Robert?
No, not at all, but I've just got a guilty conscience now about the poor, you know, people on the end of the phone, especially old people, because we used to, you know, really think it's funny to hear them singing it.
Yes. And so there's just heaps and heaps of people around the country, no $100, no lifetime supply of jelly crystals.
I feel prime time low life, I can tell you.
Yes, well, good on you for getting it out of your system and admitting it and confessing up.
Another potential national anthem there too, Tone. One we've missed, the Aeroplane Jelly song.
Yes, so some good might come out of this after all, Robert. Thanks very much. We'll open the second window now and meet Peter. Peter, have you got something to confess to as well?
Yeah, I have, guys. I used to work on the local council. I say used to. And whenever they held the Oktoberfest in my area, they used to charge $5 to get in.
Right.
Well, I had a key to sort of like a back gate, and I used to get some of the customers in for $2.
Oh, so you were profiteering off the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, and how much money did you make off this little scam?
Oh, I'm not going to give away too much.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
The Oktoberfest scam.
Yes.
That's remarkable.
And it was your local council, was it,
yeah,
Peter?
Yeah, yeah.
And just how German did they go? Because I love it when the local councils do Oktoberfest, because, you know, some people just call it Oktoberfest and there's beer. Some go the whole hog with the Lederhausen and the knee-slapping dancing.
This one went the whole hog. They had the whole slapping on the knees and on the buttocks and all that type of stuff. They went the whole hog.
The
whole 40 yards, or whatever they call it.
Jug of beer with a little metal lid on the top.
Oh, everything.
It's a stein.
The big sausages and everything.
And you were there just collecting the cash.
Yeah.
All right.
Profiteering out of the goodwill towards Oktoberfest.
But mind you, I got free entry in.
Of course.
Sure,
and Peter, did you feel tempted to apply for that gig this week, head of the Reserve Bank?
No, I didn't.
All right, well, thanks for confessing. And, you know, we're building a catalogue of crimes today.
Indeed.
Can we go better than that?
We're going to try. Rebecca.
How you going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Get it off your chest, Rebecca.
Well, it's my 21st, and the party went over a couple of days.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a bit to drink,
right.
And they wanted to get pretty experimental, so they wanted to show me the Dance of the Flaming Arsehole.
Oh, yes. Mm. Now, I think it's traced back to Australia. I believe that exotic dance does originate in this fair land.
I think at the 2000 Olympics they're going to open the ceremony with a quick rendition.
The dance had a certain quality about it because we got so excited when I was bending over in my movement. Anyway, when I was bending over, I passed some wind between my bottom and shot 6 feet up in the air, and I end up in the burns unit for 3 weeks in the hospital.
Well, that's more information than we were expecting on this one, Rebecca. And I'm sure people who are not familiar with the Dance of the Flaming A's are confused at this point. But it does involve newspapers on fire connecting with a part of the body not normally associated with reading material.
And tell me, Rebecca, when you were admitted to hospital, how did you explain the wound?
Didn't say anything. Would you?
No, not at all. We still have the paper attached. Was there any like reading material for the doctor in charge?
Rebecca,
no comment.
This is something the blokes get into. I've never heard of. You know, is this a winner? I think it might be.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, God.
Yes.
We've done a hat trick. My mum won last night.
Mum won last night on what?
On this segment?
Yeah, on this segment.
On True Confessions?
Yes, she did.
So, hang on. So, it was your mum who gave the toilet cup of coffee.
She lived to tell another tale.
Oh, that's...
How are you getting through? What are you, got a bat phone or something? How are you? You got the studio bugged. How do you get through all the time?
We try.
You know, this family could do a radio program much like this one.
I'd hate to be billeted out with that family.
You wouldn't be able to do anything.
Got a cup of tea? No! Want to read the paper? Oh, no!
All right, well, guess what? The family's building quite a stash of CDs.
You've got a wacky sitcom family.
You've got the 3.5-pack, Rebecca.
Thank you very much.
And you've gone into...
What are you going to do with those?
Give them to a friend?
Yes, I'm sure you'll think of something. Now, you've also gone into the draw for the big trip to the UK, so be listening this time next week when we draw that one.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking part. Mm. And I think we've already given this message to a member of your family, but remember, no matter how good, bad, or burnt up things get, just remember.
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, no.
Everclear coming to your town soon, I'm sure, with Santa Monica here at Martin Malloy. And now it's time for another episode of the radio serial that combines... How can I set this up? It combines suspense,
yep,
tension, and, more importantly, extremely realistic action sequences.
Excuse me, sir. Is your name Malloy?
Yeah.
Would you mind answering that?
Yes, I would. Can't you see I'm busy shouting at passers-by? 1978 Gemini!
Sir, I think you'll find the call's actually for you.
Oh, will I? Well, people must have received those change of address cards I sent out. Mick Malloy, now contactable at the phone box down the street. Get serious, darling. Getaway car!
I think it may be regarding that double glazing inquiry.
What are you talking about? Dickhead!
Oh, that's a bit unfair, Mick.
Double glazing? What, as part of the extensive renovations I'm conducting back at my palatial single-fronted phone box? What a yes.
Mr. Malloy, it's another secret message.
Secret message, is it? Check this out, everybody. It's a secret message. Almost as secret as my decision to sell my house and relocate now.
Answer the phone.
No, I won't.
You'll answer it, and you'll answer it now.
No, I will not.
You will. You'll hear the secret message now.
I don't want to hear the secret message.
Here it comes.
What about phone jams?
Here it is.
Good afternoon, Mick. After this recording is over, go directly to the next booth. There you'll find a phone in perfect working order. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to rip the handpiece clean away from the main body of the phone but leave it sitting on the receiver. Then clog up the coin slot with chewing gum. Take the A to K and tear out every third page. As for the L to Z, well, just throw that away altogether. In fact, if you've got time, replace it with a second A to K, this one smelling suspiciously of urine. Oh, and don't forget to cover the handpiece in tiny cigarette burns and carve a message which refers to someone called Julie, identifying her as a complete slut. Sure, it's a dirty job, Mick, but it's a public phone and somebody has to do it. This phone box will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oh, my God! Out of my way! She's about to fly!
Mr. Malloy, look out!
Get down, everybody!
Look out! You're heading straight for the front window of Trampolines R Us! Now you're heading for the trampoline spot!
Trampolines!
Look out, Mr. Malloy! Now you're heading straight for barbecues galore!
Oh, you just as well they were taken over by the trampolinery! Oh, I think the trampoline nook has a far better range. Whoa!
Join Mick next week for another Mission Predictable.
Malloy pretty much winding up yet another week of it. And over the weekend, if you get the chance, visit the Martin Malloy website. If you've got the necessary equipment, it's at, let me see if I can get this right, http://martinmalloy.village.com.au. Woof! Made it! Made it to the end.
Have a lie down.
No
WWEs in there?
No WWEs. Oh. There's been a bit of trouble with that. Some people have been, I think, possibly me at one point, even said WWW, and that was what was causing all the trouble. See, it's because I was thinking WWF, as I so often am, and it just got in there. Maybe we need to get Mean Gene Oakland to record the address for us. And
so I shouldn't have mentioned it. I shouldn't have gone WWW.
Oh, leave it out, people. Leave it out. And if you can't get to the website, why not get to the Divinals, one of our hardest workers. And rock outfits on the road with their big underground tour. It's, well, let's see, where's it taking them this weekend? Tonight, the Palace in Melbourne. Check out Divinals tonight at the Palace in Melbourne. South Australia listeners, attention, they'll be in Whyalla at the Sundowner tomorrow and then Sunday night at Heaven in Adelaide. And the reason I mention that is because Chrissy Amphlett's going to be in on the program next week.
Cool.
That'll be interesting.
I'm sure it will be.
Who knows what will happen there. And before we go, well, there's a little tradition we have on the program. We fire up the Martin Malloy comedy in Singerada. First, we pack it full with the weakest gags we somehow didn't find a home for during the week. Start the clock, Gracie. Kick us off, Mickey.
The Jimmy Watson Memorial Trophy for the best first-year red wine was last night awarded to the Hardy Wine Company's 1995 Eileen Hardy Shiraz. To celebrate the victory, the winemaker opened a bottle, shook it violently, then tipped it over the heads of the assembled crowd. Furious wine. Hawaiian Buffs later complained about the incident, saying they should have been offered a small taste first, as etiquette demands.
Sad news, Mickey. They've had the black armbands on down at Hungry Jack's this week following the death of James McLemore, the inventor of the Whopper. McLemore, who was 70, died peacefully in his home in Miami, Florida last weekend. As yet, his family have not yet decided if he'll be buried or flame grilled.
The sex industry has asked the federal government to allow it to advertise for jobs on CES notice boards. The government has agreed but is insistent that those cards advertising jobs in the sex industry are placed up the back and wrapped in plastic.
News today that many lesbian couples who want to start their own families are being denied access to sperm banks instead. And Steve Bedwell mentioned this earlier. They are conducting their own extremely risky artificial insemination procedures at home using a donation from a male friend and a turkey baster. When asked what was the optimum time of the month to give it a go, one couple said, "We just wait till one of us starts dancing around the room singing, 'I feel like chicken tonight.'"
NASA scientists claim life could exist deep within one of Jupiter's moons after examining photos that reveal its cracked and icy surface. Scientists later studied a photo of Joan Collins and drew exactly the same conclusion. Collins jacked to put the weakness in. Oh, I've got the pants down and I'm getting smacked. Thank you very much.
All right, well, we must thank our guests, Steve Bedwell, Deb Clark, all our gladiators and fesser upperers. As always, a big end of week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Good evening, Dave.
Our assistant, Emma. Making those sketches, it's Vicky.
Good evening, Vic.
All the button pushers toiling away and sitting through our crap all around the country.
Go for it, button pushers.
Thanks also to Daniel Kowalski and Nan Maver, who contributed to the tapestry of fun this week.
Oh, yeah.
And the man in the glass booth, one Pete Smith.
Not you, Petey.
I was looking at Pete.
You thought he was going to sing Elvis for a second there, but no, we'll be back next week. It's Ladies Week, and our guests will include, as I mentioned, Chrissy Amphlett, Nicole Stevenson, Judith Lucy online from the Edinburgh Festival, and even young Paul Hester will be dragging up for the occasion. And time for us to go. Just before we do, Mickey, this happened on the show yesterday, and it went quite well, so I reckon we try it again. Remember yesterday when your life flashed before your eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
that?
See if you can do it.
Hang on a second, I'll have to concentrate.
Oh, piss off, creep.
Come out now with your hands up.
Stick it, copper.
We find the defendant guilty.
No! You're fired.
Bucket of Kentucky.
What, beer?
Must change underpants.
Come on, there you go. What about that?
Bit lower, bit lower. Do you know who I am? I'm Mick.
Hey, buddy, you want fries with that?
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.